Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, welcome to Access Astrology. We are three astrologers. We get together almost every week and talk about what's going on in the sky and how it's reflected on the earth and then all of our connections to others. My name is Mark Waltz. I'm talking to you from New York, and I'm joined by my colleagues.
This is Heather Rowan Robbins calling in from Ronan, Montana tonight.
And is on her way, I guess.
Okay, good. Anne has recently moved south to Florida and is still recombobulating after the discombobulation of the move. So it's been very exciting for her, I think. Moving can do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
so I've been playing with a new Astro toy. It's really a tool. But Heather has come up with a deck of cards, which are an Astro Oracle. And I've been looking through it. I think it's really a wonderful way to help people get started in asking questions about astrology. Asking questions about life, looking for an answer in the chart. And one of the difficult things about learning to do that, to use astrology in that way, is deciding what's important. So you have a chart that's been cast, but it's got all of these elements in it, and you're not sure what signifies what and what's more important. And by drawing the cards that Heather put together represent parts of the chart. And so your intuition selects what's important, and then you can go from there.
Mm-hmm. I just figured, you know, our language of astrology is so redolent. It speaks so much to us as astrologers. And that I thought, you know, when I look at all of the wonderful cards, and I have, you know, 15, 20 decks lying around that I use that are the animal cards and the oracle cards and a pile of tarot cards, and I use them all. But I really saw how the symbols in astrology felt at least as powerful, if not more, than any other symbol set.
Mm-hmm.
And they, by letting people draw them and think about them one at a time and think about, you know, that doesn't matter which direction you pull it, you're always looking at that continuum that we see in every planet, every placement that it has to offer, the practical side of that question or challenge, and the challenging end of it, that everything, some look easier, some look harder to begin with, but each one has that range, and you can use it well. So to kind of, the pulling these cards gets people in the habit of looking for the gift hidden in the challenge and the challenge hidden in the gift. And it gets them familiar with, you know, 56 astrological terms, with all the planets, the signs, the houses, the asteroids, qualities of the signs, solar conditions, and so that they become... Because often I find that it's just the very language of astrology that can make people feel sort of daunted, like it's hard for them to step in. So this
your Astro Oracle deck, it really helps focus right away, brings a sharp focus to what's
wonderful.
Meaningful. Yeah.
I'm so glad you find that useful. I'm really hoping, you know, that astrologers who've been working with these symbols for a long time can use it really easily. And those that are just learning about astrology can find that it helps really open up their understanding of the symbols.
Yeah, I think it does exactly both. Mm-hmm.
That's wonderful. Thank you.
Good.
And you've been playing with it and are enjoying it?
Yeah.
Excellent.
It speaks.
Yeah, that was my test. I made a mock-up of the deck and worked with it until I you know, I would have made it original. The original deck had 70 cards, but they had backed me off to, you know, I had to fight to get 56 cards. But it was, I tried to condense it to 56 symbols that I could use, and then I experimented with it. Did it work for me before I could, you know, take it out to the public? So that was a fun, a powerful experience. Does it speak is the question. Yeah.
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 So it's available now, right?
Yep, it is. You can get it either straight from Hay House or, you know, from Simon & Schuster or Amazon or your favorite local, metaphysical bookstore.
Yeah, metaphysical bookstore. That's what you want.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Cool.
And I know my friends at the Eye of Horus on my website, rowanrobbins.com, if you go to it, there's a page for the Star Codes Oracle. And the bookstore in Minneapolis that I used to work with, Eye of Horus, is doing mail order also directly if you want to start with a small company and work out. I had so much fun working with the artist, who is a young man who's a tattoo artist from Brazil living in Australia. I asked him for a tattoo artist because I wanted something a little bit edgier than a lot of most astrology art can be. But he, and I gave him a very kind of detailed list of the important symbols that needed to be on it, but then let his imagination put all those symbols into form. And he did a really beautiful job.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really pleased with most of them, most of the cards.
Yeah, that was good teamwork.
Yeah. So thank you. I think the more ways we can learn, you know, that we learn, some people learn by books, some people learn by touching, by feeling, by seeing. Some people are using these cards and they lay out the whole chart, and that's been working for them.
I love the idea of laying out the whole chart. I think that's a great way to use them. I like them, Heather.
Hi.
I think they're really terrific. Hi. Oh. I was just finishing with a client, so I'm a little late. But I love the oracle cards. I think they're really good. And I was using them the other day, kind of asking some questions about timing, and they were very helpful. They were very helpful that way, too. You know?
Oh, I'm so excited.
Well, and a lot of times people don't realize that we live in a numinous universe where we can ask it questions and it answers us. So that's the beauty of tarot.
Right.
But in this case, it's tarot combined with astrology, so you get a very different sense of it. It's beautiful.
Right.
It's a beautiful deck. So.
Oh, thank you, hon. I'm so glad it works for you because, that was my hope. It's built to have a conversation with it, so you can keep talking.
Yes.
Right.
Ask a question, then ask another question, then what about this? And, our language of astrology is so powerful.
Yes.
And especially for people who are learning astrology, a good way to work with it, I think, is to cast a chart for the question or the time of the event, and then pull the cards at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And the cards will tell you where in that chart to look.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a good idea, Mark. Kind of directing your
focus.
That's
really cool.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Anne, how is the move going? Speaking of, you know, great changes.
I'm okay. The movers came, they delivered the stuff Saturday, and the cat, they said they were coming, and then, of course, there was a weird thing with phone number. I'm really ready for Mercury to be off the square with Neptune into good, solid Capricorn, which just happened yesterday.
Yeah.
So my house in New York has lots of hidey spaces under the bed, you know, in the closets. Here, there are no hidey spaces. The beds go right to the ground, and so the cat, I didn't really think about him, unfortunately. He was a little freaked out, these two guys running around bringing boxes in. So depending on what room he would be in, and he does this with the cleaning lady, you know, when she goes in a room, he runs out because, you know, she's got that loud, noisy machine. But with movers, it's two of them. So he was kind of running around the house trying to find a place. At one point, he was behind the couch behind the table, like looking out, like, am I safe here? And then the guy moved some stuff and then he ran again. So the last time I saw him run was he was running towards the kitchen. And you know, very slinky, you know, tail down, not a happy guy at all.
Yeah.
And then I couldn't find him. I was looking all over. I was calling. I was shaking the treats, nothing. I thought, well, maybe I missed it. He went out in the hall. I did a hall patrol, not in the hall. Came back. I'm looking under the refrigerator. Look, and all of them are flush to the floor. This is a house where everything is flush to the floor. So he didn't crawl into the dishwasher. I had lost a cat once under the stove when I moved back in 79, and Bobberine crawled under the stove and was missing for like a week. And we finally got her back. We put food in the empty apartment and got her. But, you know, she freaked out during the move. And so finally, I'm like, I don't know where the hell he went. He got on the counter. He's a black cat. I had bought a black crock pot when I got down here because I love my crock pot. He'd gotten behind the crock pot and was hiding. So his butt and his back blended in.
Yeah, hiding in plain sight.
Hiding in plain sight. So, but he, you know, his butt, and I'm like, oh, he crawled behind the crock. So he was hiding his face, which has the white on it, because he's a black, and his butt and his tail are black. And I'm like, oh, you're hiding behind the crock pot. Very clever, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then that was fine.
They know how to color code, yeah.
They know how to color code. Then Sunday, he was, like, telling me stories. He's like, oh, my God, you know, the movers came, and then they did this. And then he was talking again. But let me tell you, Saturday, he was a little freaked out. And it took me about an hour and a half. I was like, I don't know where he went. He's gone. You know, and I searched the apartment, and I'm like, I thought he was last in the – and he was. He was in the kitchen behind the crock pot. So we survived, and everything arrived, and now I'm kind of having – you know how, like, when you live in a place for a long time, like New York, I've lived there 42 years, I know where the paper towels go. I come home, I did a pile roll, put the – you know, here, I'm like, all right, so where am I going to put the paper towels? You know, it's like everything has to be thought of in a new way, like where you're going to put stuff. So that's been very adjusting for my little brain to go through. Like, oh, I have extra toilet paper where I guess I could put it in the drawers. I, you know, like, it's kind of weird. So,
yeah, it is. That's I've moved across the country too many times. And
well, you move all the time.
Well, it doesn't make it any less exhausting to not know where things are in your house. Or where to buy the damn paper towels in town.
Mm-hmm,
you know,
mm-hmm,
you just, going to a supermarket where you know where everything is so much faster than wandering around looking for something. So
right, totally.
It is that once you get, it just streamlines life once you know where everything is. It's like learn the dance steps.
Yeah. And I had to replace the air conditioner filter, which I was like, okay, I've never done that. So I wrote the new owner and the old owner, and I said, okay, so air conditioner filters, you know, like, one, where is it? And two, where do I get them? You know, it's just like everything takes a little longer than you think it should. So it's all good. But
you can often offer air filters can be, I find we have them for the furnace that if I buy them online, I can get them shipped. And that is lovely. Along with your excitement and our excitement, I was looking at the excitement for the tornado this weekend. And,
oh, I know.
You know,
oh, yeah.
We were not that at all. You know, when Venus and Pluto come to conjunct, and that's the first of three conjunctions between now and March, it's a rare lineup, that that we have a loss, or we are aware of loss, or we are, you know, and there's still several hundred people missing, and towns are gone.
Yeah.
And in that, you know, it happened as the moon conjunct Neptune in Pisces and Venus conjunct Pluto. So it's, you know, the sense of, well, what do we do with this loss? You know, how do we, it was, you know, the other aspects, you know, Mercury was, as you said, square Neptune and sextile Pluto when it happened. It was an exact sextile to Pluto, Venus. And so the rest of us can learn vicariously, and that it's happening off season talks about the loss that we can expect with climate change that people are just going to have to get used to, all storms intensifying and coming at strange times of the year. But that a grievous loss, and I am hoping that people And misuse of power in the process. You know, we're having so many union questions around Starbucks, who just got unionized. One of their chapters got unionized. There's a lot of jokes about, you know, the Amazon execs immediately went to find any survivors and make sure they didn't unionize in their plant that went down. But that the, you know, the people at the candle factory begged. They get $8 an hour, and they begged to go home when the sirens first went off, and they weren't allowed home.
Well,
and it's gonna, and the whole place caved in on them. So there's gonna be, you know, some real questions around worker safety and who takes responsibility during this time.
Mm-hmm. And also with Mercury Sag and Mars and Mars with the Sun and Mercury both in Sag, it was candle factory. Which I thought was interesting. I mean, I'm kind of like...
a flame.
Yeah, a flame. Well, I mean, you know, candles are Sagittarian. So I was like, wow. I mean, it was just gone. It was stunning to see, you know.
Yeah.
Blown away.
Yeah, and I am fascinated by tornadoes, but that was really terrifying to see the size of that.
Yeah, it was a big one. It was really big.
Yeah.
We have our little dog that we found lost after a tornado went through North Dakota, but it was a very small, like, you know, drill. It had maybe a couple hundred feet across rather than half a mile, which this one looks like it was.
And even that one
was F1, and it still looked like someone took an egg beater, you know, cake mixer, and put it down over the forest and swirled all the trees. So it was pretty intense. We honor that.
Pretty amazing. Pretty amazing.
Mm-hmm.
But we also have a full moon this weekend. And we had Mercury change and Mercury and Venus stationing. And Mercury and Mars both change signs. So... A lot of energetic shifting this week, you know, where people are going to really feel like, oh, okay, that's really shifting and changing.
Yeah, a lot of glimpse of the past and look into the future.
Mm-hmm.
A little hard to be present in the moment.
Yeah. It's very true. I find a lot of people are really melancholy or really caught in memories, you know, with the Neptune part of it. You know, it's that there's a sadness to it. In my case, I can't find the paper towels, but other things, it's like a somberness of how are we gonna create? And it really is a time for being gentle with each other, you know, because there's a lot of energy of a lot of harshness out there, that Mars and Scorpio can really be, you know, intense. But now that he's moved into Sag, he's answering to the Jupiter in Aquarius. So he's got a detachment, but he also has an ability to really expand quickly. Hi, dog.
Mm-hmm.
The dog agrees with me. So it's an interesting week because the sun, the full moon in Sag takes us back to the summer of, or to Gemini time of 2020, when of course we were really starting to look at COVID and go, I think this is going to last a little longer than we thought.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That whole, we were going to close down for 2 weeks and then we'll open back up again. And it was like, no, this is a little longer journey here. So, you know. Is that the dog from North Dakota, Heather, or a different one?
That I have three.
Mm-hmm.
And that was all of them chiming in together.
Oh, okay.
A deer is walking by the yard, so they are.
There's something we have to guard you from. Okay, that makes
sense. Oh,
yeah.
The terrible fawn, you know. But it's they're doing their doggily duties. And you know that heaviness that you're talking about, that Venus Saturn conjunction, and Venus is, you know, when Venus turns retrograde, we think of, you know, Venus has to do with how we value the world, and so the idea that, you know, with Mercury review, this we reevaluate, and I'm noticing a lot of people are reevaluating their job, their love, their relationships, their, you know, what's important to them. Do they need to invest in, you know, a lot of people are having some major expense that they have to suddenly deal with. And they have to decide, do I chintz out or do I get something that's going to last me a while but cost me more? And this, what are my values now? What do I value at the moment?
Right,
and
right.
And I just want people to go really, and I know people that are dealing with three clients of mine got terminal illness diagnoses recently. And
wow.
Then you just, you know, they're looking at, do I wait? Do I go early? How do I do this? And that Venus and Pluto can say, well, let's just, you know, end the relationship rather than do the work, or let me just step off the wheel rather than go through the next, you know, few years of this. And I'm just asking people to slow it down, to just really slow it down and kind of come back to what, you know, in the face of a disaster like the tornado or, you know, the marriage or the bad diagnosis, what's beautiful? You know, if what's worth living for? What do you love about each other even if you leave? What do you, how do you take this the next level? And just hang in there, move slowly, and remember what you value rather than
right.
just devalue everything during this next few months. Now, we have a lot of people on that want to jump on. Do we want to take one call before we go?
Yeah, I'm good with
yeah.
that.
Okay. Hello, 510. You're on the air. You've been waiting patiently. Hello?
Hi, thank you. My birth time is 5581.
Okay, 5-5-1981.
And it's 2:54 a.m.
And where?
Elkhorn, Wisconsin.
And what would you like to ask us?
I am curious about a couple of things. I not having a home and kind of would like one again. And I, you know, went traveling and that's fine, but I'm kind of wondering, and I'm an astrologer. So I've been studying my astrology and I've been studying finances. I started my business. I know Venus in the third is saying like make intellectual property. I know Saturn's transiting my 12th, you know, it's not great for money, but I started, as soon as I started, you know, selling astrology readings, then those sold, but it's still something I have to sell. And so I'm doing all the things, but it's not like I can just sell 12 a week or, you know, whatever. I mean, I'm working up to it, but it's just there's so much to do, and I'm working on writing a book, and I really need to make more money than I'm making. And I have two products I sell. One's 5K, so if I sell one of those products, you know, I'm back in business in my life. But selling my $200 product, you know, it takes up quite a few of them. So I just, yeah.
And your time of birth was 2:54 a.m., is that correct?
Correct, Pisces.
Did I get
rising,
your time?
Yeah,
Pisces rising. Yeah, and Jupiter is just about to come into your first house. Pluto is just getting off its trine to your chart. And your progressed moon is 3 months away from conjunction to Uranus, but it's up in the house of publishing. But your progressed moon is going to be in the ninth house in 6 months in Sagittarius. So it looks like you're going to be, you know, growing in visibility in the year ahead. It's the next 6 months that it feels like you're doing some deep balancing and still need a little more room for yourself and for changes and for finding a home. And what are you seeing?
I would agree. I think the other part that's hard is the Saturn squaring to the Taurus planets, you know, in the second house. So they want more of a clear understanding of how they're going to make the money, which then helps them calm down. So when Saturn gets past 14, that gives you more steady work because the sun rules the sixth house, right? So when Saturn finishes his square to your sun, which is January timeframe, that can help it feel a little bit more forward motion. And then also, you know, to Heather's point, you know, the moon in Gemini, natally in the third, that's excellent for writing. and you're also having the nodes going through the second or through the third and the ninth. So that's very good for getting the book out there. But the chart does need to kind of figure out what it's focusing on, because right now that moon in Gemini can make you feel a little scattered. So your job is, you know, your natal moon in Gemini, it always makes a little bit of scatter, but it also has the node on it right now. So as Mars hits that south node in the next day or so, it's going to shoot a bunch of energy over to that moon. So it's like, okay, how do I partner with people? Who do I partner with? How do I find people? Because that moon is your natal Jupiter and Saturn both have gone direct by progression, and they're both passing. I mean, Saturn is about to pass natal Saturn's position. But that Jupiter-Saturn conjunction is nice, and it's at zero of Libra, which gets the trine from the conjunction that we had of Jupiter and Saturn at zero, Aquarius in the 12th on your nodes. So you're on the right path. I think it's, you know, it's more a matter of, you know, how do you feel comfortable? And it's real important for those Taurus planets to feel like they know where the money's coming from. It's not a chart that's going to have long-term issues making money, but right now with both Saturn and Jupiter in your 12th, it can feel a little bit like I'm treading water as opposed to swimming where I want to go, right? But to Heather's point, once that moon gets out of Scorpio into Sag, it gets a much more optimistic point of view. Mark, and also Sun off of Neptune will help you not feel so, because you're also having Neptune square Neptune, which is I don't really know where I'm sailing my boat. I just know I'm in the boat. So, Mark, what do you
think? I guess
see?
It's like...
Oh, I'm still trying to pull up the chart. I'm having a computer.
I guess I was curious about, like, the joy factor with it all. I mean, I mean that's what I teach, too, is, like, to go towards what you love. And for some reason, astrology took me forever to, like, finally actually do it. I don't know, all the spells, all the things. And then when I did it, I started making money. But, of course, it's a $200, you know, my readings are $200 at the moment, and it's a $200 product. And so I hear everything you're saying. I guess I want, like, I guess you have any advice for early astrologer, you know, it's just to study a chart. You know, I give myself quite a bit of time because I want to do depth. I don't want to just give them superficial. I want to do a great job for them. But, of course, it's a lifelong study. I mean, my God.
They're not responsible for paying you to study. You know, that's where – comparing your readings to somebody else's readings when you that's a fair cost for that, and to know that you're being paid to study is really helpful, because that your studying will grow. Yes, it is something I've been studying for you know, almost 50 years, and it's I have much more to learn. So I would say it's your moon in Gemini often does well with two things at once. I found that when my kids were growing, I always had a second job so that I never needed my clients more than they needed me, because your perception gets skewed. When you are when you need your client to need you. You know, and it's hard to be clear-sighted.
I mean, I've done
clear-sighted.
My work on that because I'm a life coach. Yeah, because I'm a life coach, too, and that's, you know, I use
so
I do astrological life coaching.
So that's what you have is you have more than one thing going, and you let the seeds of your astrology grow organically and continue. And the life coaching and everything else that you do can support you and feed into your astrology as you're working along. Keeping yourself visible, you'll find that visibility gets better in 6 months. Go ahead, Mark.
Yeah, I finally have the chart in front of me. You want to look at your Jupiter-Saturn conjunction natally and really work with that. Everything has to come in steps, so know where you are in the overall structure of what you're trying to achieve.
But, you know, you're about to get
to...
Right. You're about to get much more visible with it. But you're about to get much more visibility as Jupiter crosses into your first and your progressed moon gets out of Scorpio. But that's going to be 6 months. Like, take care of yourself now, get organized, and you'll have no trouble when that happens. We're out of time, so I'm saying goodbye, and we'll each of us say goodbye to one another. This is And Robin saying goodbye from Montana. Mark?
Mark Waltz saying goodbye from New York for the week. Thanks for listening.
And Ann Ortley signing off from the dining room table in Florida. Goodbye.
Wonderful. Goodbye and have a good week. Take care of each other.
Bye, everybody.
Okay.